Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
86 Productions.
To the WrestleMania 30 post show. I am Andrew Hughes. I'm joined by Aaron Hughes, Doug Hahn, and Travis Peterson. So let's get right into the results. Should we talk about the curtain jerker match or the post show match, if you want to call it that, or pre show match?
Well, of course, we had the tag, the fatal four way for the tag titles, and of course, all us wrestling fans got it right with the Usos. But Andy, you had a couple of people over who were not wrestling fans, correct?
That's correct. I had a friend of the show, of course, Ty Borman. He was on last year's show, and Dave Nanigay as well. They are not hardcore wrestling fans, but they kind of know what's going on here and there.
Well, I wouldn't even say that. I mean, Nanigay doesn't even really watch, but Borman watches only for WrestleMania 30, right?
Yeah, but Nanigay watched up until about WrestleMania 9.
either way, so he hasn't watched in a long time. On Los Matadores, but everyone else picked the Usos. Doug, I want to ask you, storyline wise, what do you see happening here?
It was a great aspect for the real Americans, and pushing them towards their eventual breakup. I do like the fact that they changed the match to an elimination style match.
I agree.
So I think that was a big thing for the pre-show to give it even a little bit more length and also some realistic, you know, if you were to beat the tag team champions, you had to at least pin them. Mm-hmm. So hopefully storyline mode, I don't know who you're going to throw in there as a new tag team top contender, because technically the Usos have beaten those three teams. You lost the Real Americans as a tag team now. So where do you go from there? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's going to be interesting to see what they do. They're going to have to maybe call up somebody else. Andy, maybe your boys from NXT. What do you think?
Ascension? No, I don't think they're going to be the ones that get called up. They're okay down there, but they actually did a live event it must be 2 months ago. No reaction. It's like no one cared. So them getting called up, I don't think that's going to happen. There are some people that they could put together as a tag team down there, but no one in particular that I can think of off the top of my head. I don't think they should bring Sami Zayn in as that, but if they were going to do two people, Sami Zayn...
It's got to be heels, though. Got to be heels.
That's true. You got to have heels. Ascension would be it, but I think that would be too soon. They're still struggling down there. They're big guys, though. Mm-hmm. But well, and they can't wrestle that well, so hey, maybe they will get brought up. But yeah, so let's talk about the opening match. The opening match was, of course, Triple H versus Daniel Bryan, which I was not shocked it was the opening match, but it does make sense. The match itself I thought was really good. What did you think about the match, Doug?
I think it was a good match. I think it went a little bit long, but you know, it added to the aspect of Bryan getting beat down. But very good match. Little surprised that it was clean. So, but Bryan over Triple H, kind of saw it coming, but it was still a good match.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that the fact that it was a clean win, that was just the biggest shock to me. Of course, at the end, Triple H, does beat down Bryan. But one of the interesting things here, very similar to the Usos, Andy, is that the people who are wrestling fans all pick Bryan, and then the two people who don't know and, that aren't regular watchers pick Triple H. And so I think it's kind of interesting. What were their reactions when Daniel Bryan won? Were they surprised? Were they in shock?
They were, but one thing that one of the guys said he wasn't happy about, he goes, so what you're saying is that if whoever wins this match will also win that, could be put in the next match or the final match, the main event. I said, oh yeah. He goes, oh, can I change my pick now? Of course, that was after it happened, mm-hmm. But that's beside the point. But yeah, so they weren't really sure, but I felt bad because the one guy, Dave Nanigay, he actually said, he goes, well, who's going to be? And he's like, well, I'll pick Triple H. I go, well, too bad he lost after the fact. But yeah, so they of course, you can see the wrestling fans, they picked Riot on so far. We're all two for two at this point. But this match, I was really surprised, but it went on a little too long. In my opinion, they could have cut it down at least 5, if not 10 minutes. I don't consider it a clean win, because of what happened afterwards, the fact that they went over after his shoulder. That's all they're working on. Because
well, it was a clean win.
It was a clean win, but what happened afterwards. Yeah, yeah, that's where I was like, I was a little upset about that. But anyways, the next match, which I think curtain to curtain was 10 minutes in total, like including the video
curtain
package.
Curtain to curtain, yeah.
And that says something. Now, 10 minutes curtain to curtain, we'll just put it that way. This match itself was maybe three, maybe 4 minutes.
I think on Wikipedia it said it was 3 minutes and 14 seconds.
Okay. Fastest match of the night, Shield versus the Authority, Authority being Kane and the New Age Outlaws. I picked the Authority. I thought there was going to be a big thing. I was wrong on that, but everyone else picked the Shield, so I was a little upset, but, you know, whatever. You can't win them all. But I thought there was going to be something major to happen here, but this was, like, over with. You're like, what? But all in all, I thought the match was decent, but this made this Shield look strong. Like, really strong. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Doug?
I agree with, Andy, and it is one of those things that I was actually really surprised at the domination by the Shield. I could see where you picked the Authority and thinking that this could be the breakup of the Shield and the push for Roman Reigns, but it really unified the Shield and just their complete dominance from start to finish. Being a quick match, it was surprising, but at the same time, enjoyable. I mean, here's three young people coming in and beating up the old school and, you know, and kind of how it needed to be.
Do you think that it was more the reason why the match was so short is because Road Dogg is still hurt? Do you think that's why it was so fast?
I would say it was so fast more along the lines because Triple H and Daniel Bryan went so long. But, you know, it could be, you know, like you said, New Age Outlaws, they're old. They're the old age outlaws now. Kane, I think, could have supported that match a lot longer than they could. But you have a dominating force in the Shield, and you really gave them a really big push in here. All three of them at the same time got a huge push, knowing that the New Age Outlaws were the tag team champions not that long ago.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that they got a really – it was – I think bell to bell – it was probably the most entertaining match of the night. Like, you know, if you go like per second, you know, it was probably the most entertaining because of what happened. The only thing, it didn't have the drama that was in there, but the Shield definitely looked good. And I think that this is going to be a spot for WWE where they can make all three people superstars. And I think that's something that's really important because a lot of times when you have these three-man tag teams or even a tag team in general, you always have the one guy who's the breakout star and the other two go off and they do pretty much nothing. And I think this is an opportunity. You keep them together long enough and they can go their separate paths and they can have really great careers. So I hope that that's what they do.
I just want to point out the match was two minutes and 57 seconds. It was that quick. Now, here's the other interesting thing. The 30-man Battle Royale was next. We got to pick two. Did anyone get this right technically?
No. While I don't know if Cesaro was officially announced.
By the time we recorded it, no. Because I wanted to send you a message actually right before the match. And when they said that Cesaro was going to be in there, I thought about sending you the message. I won't take credit for a win, but he was going to be my pick to win it as my second person. I really thought Big Show was going to win. My second pick would have been Cesaro, though.
Just to give you a heads up, when we did record this, Cesaro was not actually in it. He's one of the mystery people.
Like Doug said, I wouldn't necessarily count that because I think mystery person was more along the lines of, you know, like a Bret Hart, you know, or like a Stone Cold Steve Austin, an RVD, you know, somebody who is
Jericho.
Jericho, yeah, exactly. Cesaro is a main roster guy, but that's nitpicking. Let's talk about the actual match itself. Doug, Cesaro winning, what do you think?
You know, for it being the first annual, I was really kind of hoping the Big Show would win, and I think that would have given a little bit more significance to the Andre the Giant aspect of it, having the Big Show win it. But the way that Cesaro won it, I thought was huge. Mm-hmm. He picks up the Big Show and tosses him over the top rope. that's just an unbelievable show of strength. And it's also the big push for Cesaro. Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, he didn't just pick him up. He picked him up.
He held him.
And he walked to the ropes and then threw him out. That's what my thing was on this match. I was like, did he walk? And then when they showed the replay, we were all like, oh my gosh, did you see that?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it is an unbelievable show of strength. I kind of wanted to see him do the swing first. Not that he'd be able to swing him over the top rope, but do the swing first and then have the Big Show like get up and stumble like he's dazed and fall over the top rope, I think could have been a good ending too.
That would have been a pretty fun spot. Now, and Kofi had a really good spot here too, I thought. You know,
do you think that was a botched spot though?
No, I don't know. I took a look on it and he basically turned around to make sure the way that he fell. So I don't know if it was a botched spot or not.
Well, I think he was actually supposed to land on the steps, though. And then I think...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think what happened was when he did that, he was like, oh, then he looked. But I'm going to have to watch it a couple times because that's how I... At least that's how I felt about it when it went down. I was like, did he... Well... And then...
Well, I think he fell a little too far because, I mean, he was on his tippy toes on that last step. So that's where I think it was botched. I think he does supposed to fall down, but keep his feet on the, like, maybe the second stair or that very last stair. But when he lands on his back and lifts his 2 feet up, I think that's really where it gets a little iffy.
Now, yeah. To talk about the match itself real quick, do you guys think 30 men was too much for this?
I wish they would have done kind of like a... We watched World War III the other night, actually on Saturday night. So we were like, man, this is awesome from 98. And then when we were watching it, we kept, you know, most of us were still thinking the same thing. Like, why don't they do something with two rings or they have like so many guys come in and then like every 30 seconds some guy comes in as well. Kind of like a mini Royal Rumble. But, you know, having 30 guys in the ring is already tough enough because you can only do so many spots and you know which guys are going to get eliminated right away. And pretty much I knew it. By the way, we saw David Otunga. Haven't seen him in a while. He was in the match. And Yoshitatsu?
Yoshi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I was happy to see him in there too.
I think 30 is too much. I thought it from the beginning. I think 20 even should be the cap. And you know, or even have 10 and have it be like the 10 best people who are not in a WrestleMania match. Because like you said, Andy, unfortunately, David Otunga's not going to win it. Yoshitatsu, Zack Ryder, none of those guys are going to win it. So they're going to get thrown out right away. And I think the smaller the pool, the more prestigious it is.
Yeah.
I was going to say, personally, I don't mind it being the 30 and knowing that those guys that are in there, like the Zack Ryders, aren't, you know, that have no shot of winning it in all aspects of it. But Ryder took a huge bump getting thrown out. I mean, because the Big Show just picked him up, or Big E? Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one. But, I mean, just tossed him from, like, the middle of the ring out of the ring. You have people that can take that big bump. I was actually a little surprised to see three-man band eliminated a couple people before they were finally eliminated.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious, you know. I was like, is this going to be a little bit of a push for 3MB? And then the next thing you know, they're being eliminated.
Oh, there you go. For the tag titles, 3MB.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring some breaking news in real quick. This is something kind of major. I didn't know about this, but did you guys hear about what happened with Billy Gunn after the Shield match?
I heard he got injured.
I did read a little
bit. He actually was coughing up blood, kind of a big deal. So let's just send some thoughts out to him, and hopefully everything works out with Billy Gunn. All right, so let's move on to John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. So, Travis, what were your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I was just disappointed. Everybody knows that Cena's a superhero, and I was really looking forward to Bray Wyatt getting that push at WrestleMania, you know, really make his character stand out as someone who could, you know, dethrone anyone. And I think, you know, if he would have won, it could have been utilized in further storylines. But now Cena's on top, and once again, the fans were disappointed. And, you know, where are you going to go from there?
Well, here's my thoughts on this match. I'm wondering if that he wanted to lose this match on purpose because then he would get into Cena's head. Because if you notice, Cena was like really weird, looked like, what's going on here? And I'm wondering if it's getting to him and they're going to do some type of weird storyline where he's kind of like not almost brainwashed by the Wyatt family.
Well, no. Andy, well, let me ask you this.
All right.
For Cena, so you think that he's going to be taking on Wyatt then at Extreme Rules, which is the next pay-per-view, or even potentially for a couple more pay-per-views? What do you think?
I believe so, because if Cena wins, we Wyatt.
Oh, my God.
What, no one saw that sign? Come on. That was an awesome sign.
Yeah.
You are the opening act for Carrot Top right now.
Oh, by the way, I just want to point something out. I thought you guys would find this funny. It's an inside joke. You guys saw the, you know, when they inducted, you know, the Hall of Fame people and they all came out. Did you guys notice something about Paul Bearer's kids?
What?
Am I the only one who saw Violent J from ICP up there?
So anyway, Andy, let's continue with the results and everything. So, Andy, you, Travis and Doug, you guys chose Bray Wyatt, of course. And then I chose John Cena. So did Borman and Nanigay, who are not wrestling fans. And I said, I believe on the special, I said, I don't want to choose Cena, but I feel like they're going to basically feed him somebody to face. And that's why he's going to win, because that's what WWE does. And unfortunately, I was right. Do you think that for your pick, Andy, did you want Bray Wyatt to win, or was it you think it was a good move for the story?
I thought for the story, Bray Wyatt would get to him, and I thought Rowan and Harper would have more of an impact in the match, and he didn't. Those guys were kind of just there. But the crowd...
They interfered, and they did attack him.
But it was nothing like major where they got the upper hand. That's why I was...
It has zero significance.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I'm kind of confused on this match, but... You know, Aaron, got to give you credit. You got this one. You're only one of the smarts to get this one right. So, Doug, did you even care about this match?
I did care about this match. I thought it was something that could have propelled Bray Wyatt into the main event status, give him that huge push that he needed, whether he won cleanly or whether he – I mean, even if you want to have the other two goons interfere in the match that caused Cena to lose – I would have been okay with that, you know, but it would still have been a Bray Wyatt win over John Cena instead of, you know, or even would have loved it if they would have had it where Bray finally, you know, he hit Sister Abigail and he, you know, Cena kicks out and then Bray, you know, bows down to him almost and gives John Cena the chair. And if John Cena would have hit him that way, I think it could have, you know, propelled storyline a little bit. But then at the same time, you knew that it wasn't going to be that way. John Cena will never be the heel. He will always be the babyface. He's always going to do what is quote unquote right. And I think that was one of the things I had a problem with the ref keep saying, John Cena, you need to do the right thing. You need to do this. You need to do this. You know, don't do that, John Cena. Don't turn. And it was too much of like fanboy ref.
Yeah, it was a little weird, I thought, when he kept saying that, especially with the steel chair. Don't do it, John. You'll regret it. Like, yeah. What?
And but you know, it doesn't surprise me that they have seen a win because, like I said, WWE hates its fans.
So what was weird though, the ref, you know, really kind of dictating Cena's character or Bray Wyatt's crab walk.
Oh gosh, that crab walk still messes me up, dude. Oh man. Every time he does it, doesn't it kind of like you're just like, huh?
He does a lot of DDP yoga.
Lots of DDP yoga.
Yeah, great. Hey, nice plug if you guys are sponsoring right now.
Yeah, the 800 number's now at the bottom. DDP yoga probably. Whatever.
The audio podcast.
Anyway, so yeah, let's move on to the match of the night. We have of course not match of the night, but the biggest one, we have Streak versus, what is it? Streak versus Beast. So we have Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. So Aaron, let's talk about this match.
So Brock Lesnar won. And of everybody, you know, of course, who picked it, everybody picked Taker because it's, you know, it's like the law of gravity. Taker's always going to win, except for one person, which was somebody who didn't watch Ty Borman. He picked Lesnar to win. And I think, you know, for him, it was, oh, yeah, he's a big guy. Of course, he's going to destroy this other person who's 15 years his elder. And I think for you know, this match, honestly, like I'm still baffled by it. Out of all the matches tonight, this was the one that baffled me the most, because Undertaker lost. He lost convincingly. He was beaten down and Lesnar pinned him. And when it was the third F5, I was like, there's no way he's getting up. Like, what are they doing? And then he got pinned. I'm very confused what they're doing here. I mean, is Undertaker retiring? Did they decide to have him go out with a loss? I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
I have some thoughts, but Doug, I'm wondering what you're thinking about right now.
I'll have to say this. The start of that match was just so ridiculously boring. It got to a point with me where I started like looking off and, you know, checking things out online, checking some game scores. It did pick up midway through, and then like Aaron said, you know, he gets the third F5, and I was like, oh wow, you know, they really are upping it for Taker that he can survive anything if he can survive three F5s. And I actually looked away from the TV when they started the three count, and as soon as I heard the third one drop, I looked immediately to look to see if like Undertaker missed his spot, like forgot to raise his arm or something. And then when they started shooting crowd reactions to it, that's when I realized it wasn't, you know, something that was fake. It wasn't like an injury mid-match that Undertaker just launched something. That this was a real loss for the Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I was very surprised, just like everybody else, that they were showing.
Yeah, I was really surprised too. The one thing also that we were watching it, the friend Dave Pate, he goes, hey, did they mess something up there? Because there was no music. And I think they did that on purpose to let everyone let it sit in. They're like, oh my gosh, Lesnar lost. And I was like, huh? I'm more shocked about that than anything that happened tonight. What are your thoughts on this, Travis?
Well, number one, I thought the entire promo to this match was completely underplayed. I feel like they did a terrible job, you know, really, you know, making this a premier match, you know, especially Undertaker is not getting younger and this is WrestleMania 30. And a lot of people knew or figured that this might be his last one. So you figured that it was going to go out with a bang, and you know, they made Brock look weak, and you know, the match didn't pick up until the end. And then there was really nothing to it. It was third F5. Lesnar gets the win. Taker's streak is over with. Lesnar walks out. Taker's slow to get up. No. Of course, there's not going to be a Madison Square Garden curtain call, but, you know, you kind of left empty-handed, I'd say, with this match. I know I was, especially with those two characters, one of them being a legend, you know, the other obviously just being a powerhouse his entire career.
I wanted to point out something also that they could actually turn this to a storyline is the fact that Paul Bearer is no longer with us. He's been inducted in the Hall of Fame. So now because of that, Undertaker has lost his power. So he can't get up. If he's fallen, he can't get up as fast as he used to be able to. I know there's a joke there, but Aaron, what are your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, you know, I'm honestly stunned. Like, we're going to talk about the main event, which obviously is a huge moment for that wrestler. But man, this still stuns me. Out of all of that stuff, this is the biggest shock, in WrestleMania history in the past, 5 years, 10 years. Like, I think since Benoit won the title, because I was not expecting him to win then. I think this is the biggest shock since that moment for me.
That's the one thing Benoit did that shocked you? Anyway, so...
At WrestleMania.
Okay, at WrestleMania.
Hold on. Let me rephrase that. The biggest WrestleMania shock in the past 10 years for me is this. No words. No words.
Yeah, so when, like, in all seriousness, so when it's all said and done, it's one of those oh my gosh moments. That's the one tonight that I thought happened, so... But the streak is dead, 21-1. I am just more upset that it was to Lesnar and not to Kane, not to someone up and comer, not to a guy who basically said that the professional wrestling industry I will never do it again. So I made this tattoo that goes out to my neck. So if I ever go back in, I'll make sure that it finishes the job. Don't like that. But anyway, so let's talk about the Divas of Battle Royale. And I got to say one thing. It's sad, but Vicky Guerrero is no longer employed by the WWE as of tonight. So shed a tear. The Guerrero family is 100% done in the WWE now. So, I'm sorry. Not technically, but there is one in NXT. But and on the main roster, that's the last one. So it's kind of sad. Anyway, so AJ Lee versus The Fiend. Aaron, who won?
So AJ Lee won. You and I both picked that, as did Boardman. I mean, we're going to be talking about him a bunch, I guess. Picked AJ Lee to win. I think because the deck was stacked against her so much, it was almost, I want to say almost a given in a way. But, you know, of course, there were so many people in there. It's like you never know who's going to win. Travis had a really good one. And so did Doug. I mean, the two people that they picked, you know, Brian Bella, as we're calling her, and Tamina were really good picks, and I think could have been the people who won. But, not much analysis I don't think really needs to be going into this. I think that AJ Lee, she's going to hold the title for a little bit longer and then eventually drop it to probably an up-and-comer in NXT.
I believe she's going to drop it here on Raw. But anyway, so Travis, do you have anything to say about this match?
Yawn.
Doug?
I'll actually say that it was for a woman's match, and seeing that they had 14 people in it, relatively done well for what it could be and what it was. AJ, you know, she escapes right after her first initial beatdown. You don't see her basically until she wins the match. So right away, I knew that I had the wrong pick, and, you know, I could hope. It storyline wise, we'll see what the Bellas do, because they turned on each other technically in the match. We'll see where that goes, and then, you know, with AJ and Tamina, if they're still together or what's going on. But again, it's the women's match.
Exactly. So let's talk about, of course, the main event. The main event was Randy Orton versus Batista versus Daniel Bryan for the championship, and Aaron, I got to start with you.
Daniel Bryan wins, and you and I both picked Bryan to win, as did Dave Pate. We haven't mentioned his name much because he pretty much was, straight lined with all of us for the picks. But us three did pick him to win, which I think they needed to. And I'm glad that they did. It was the final culmination of his storyline that has been going on since SummerSlam. And it was a really cool moment, and I'm very, very happy that they had him win. And I'm really looking forward to Raw, not just for him, but for a lot of other people too. And kudos to WWE for finally giving him the shot that he deserves.
Do you remember at any point when there was a wrestler more over than Daniel Bryan?
Punk, when he did his pipe bomb, before him. There were a lot of people who were over, you know. Austin, Rock, you know, Cena at one point even was super over for everybody. So,
but the one thing I thought was interesting is that if you watch, once he won the title, they do a pan. It was one of the back cameras, and it starts to pan and shakes because people were that excited and it caused that much of commotion. They had to go to a different camera, and they literally went back to the camera and it wasn't shaking as much. But I thought that just tells you that that's how much the crowd was into it. I mean, what are your thoughts on it, Doug?
I am very happy that they gave it to Bryan. I have no problem missing the pick on this match. And at one point, I really did think I was going to get the right pick, especially when Triple H comes down and has the new referee. It was like, oh, yep, this is it. This is where Batista wins. I can't wait to see them riot. I really was looking forward to the riot happening. I know a lot of people are saying, you know, if so-and-so wins, we're going to riot. I really thought it would happen this time. But very happy for Daniel Bryan. The one thing I took out of this match, too, was when it was just Orton and Batista fighting, the chant of "We want Ziggler" that was there, I thought was pretty funny.
Oh wait, you guys didn't. The thing that made me laugh the hardest is when Undertaker lost, and there was one guy who yelled, "You suck!"
I heard that.
That was just perfectly timed.
Well, dude,
because Jerry Lawler goes on to say, you know, what could be going through the Undertaker's mind right now? And it just, then that's right when the guy says, you suck. And it's like, well, that's what's going through his mind.
The other thing also is I was taking a drink of pop and it actually came out of my nose, and sugar in your nose burns. So Travis, what are your thoughts on the main event tonight?
I thought it was good. And I finally thought my main event prediction was on point, because Triple H made his way out. Like, he was bitter after that defeat and he was going to cost Brian the title, and that's when Orton was going to turn face, because he would have cost them both and got Batista the belt. But that's not how it went down, and I had a real problem with the way Orton and the camera angle sold it at the end after that Batista bomb, because you see Orton literally go out of his way to roll out of the ring, and then in comes Brian with the flying knee into the yes lock. And I was just, for if you're going to have him win that belt, you need a surprise finish. And that was choreographed by a second grader with Down syndrome.
The other thing also I want to talk about in the match that happened is when the spot with the Batista bomb into the RKO, Randy Orton really got hurt, and he really destroyed that monitor that was under. That was not.
Yeah.
And he was bleeding for a while after that. So I was got to give him credit on that. He smashed the crap out of it, and he still was able to, was able to finish the match. So kudos to him on that. So overall, Aaron, did you think that this was a decent pay-per-view? I mean, of course, we didn't talk about the opening thing with Hulk Hogan. Well,
before we get into our final thoughts on it, Andy, why don't you thank our sponsors?
HostGator, are you a blogger or podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code WrestleMania, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, if you check out, or you stop by the Section 86 Off the Mark page, you're going to see a little banner at the top for WWEShop.com, and you're going to save a lot of money if you spend some dollars there at WWEShop.com. So anyways, Aaron, your thoughts. We didn't talk about the opening segment, like I was saying. And we had, of course, it was Hulk Hogan with Stone Cold, and then we had The Rock come out.
Steve Austin, yeah.
Stone Cold.
Yeah, obviously really great segment, but I do want to just touch real quick on, our predictions and everything. Of course, with anything, you don't want to get too many right, because otherwise it's just predictable. And, none of us really did extremely well. I got 6 out of 8, which was surprising. I there were some picks in there that, could have gone either way. I remember, I think it was a couple years ago, I got like 3 out of 9 or something. I did horrible one year. But I think that, we were pretty much all pretty even on our picks. And so a lot of surprises, which kind of makes for a good WrestleMania.
All right. And Travis, what are your thoughts on that?
Better than last year's. Because, everyone, if they really wanted to, they could have got all the predictions correct on last year's WrestleMania. So, it was pretty good for the most part. But I don't know. I still feel like that, even though Daniel Bryan finally got his moment, I feel like that one dynamic that really makes WrestleMania pop off from any other pay-per-view or any other show was missing once again. And I blame the creative. I feel like we all could have implemented our ideas in a hat and drew out of it. And either one of our ideas would have been that ideal moment to top it off, like Sting in the Raptors. But hey, who am I? I'm just a fan.
Doug, your thoughts?
I will say that this has been one of the best WrestleManias lately, or at least in the last few years. What I like to see out of WrestleMania is that emotional response that you get from the fans, and they definitely hit it with the Undertaker's match. It might not be a positive emotional response, but it was there. It was genuine. You saw the shock on everybody's face. There was that moment of silence where, you had to really take it in and say, wow, it's the streak is over. Seeing Brian win the match, again, it was a little bit like kind of how you kind of felt last year with Cena. You knew he was going to beat The Rock and become the champion. I was really hoping for Bryan. I think it was a little bit better this year just because there was that little hint of, is WWE going to screw him over one more time? But very happy for Bryan and winning. I think it's best for business that he won and to go forward to have that. And overall, like I said, it was a very good – the Shield domination was, you know, it was short, it was sweet, and it got right through the point. So I did enjoy this WrestleMania, and it was a little – I mean, it had its surprises, and it had its good moments, and it had its down moments. But, you know, it was overall a very good WrestleMania.
So, Travis, did you have any issues with the stream tonight for the pay-per-view?
You know, I was at work when I streamed it, and I had zero issues. I logged in, went straight to the pay-per-view, and it was 1080p.
Oh, nice. Doug, do you have any issues?
I had a couple issues, and I don't know if it was because I was running it through my computer to my TV, but there was a couple times that it would go from the high def to the low quality, and I think only one time that it was noticeable that I had a skip in a match, but it was at a point where, you know what, I really didn't miss the skip either. But overall, very, very good, and no drops, no nothing like that. So I was very surprised.
Yeah, me too. Aaron, what are your thoughts on? Did you have any issues?
Yeah, I didn't have any real big issues. I was streaming on the 360 for a little while, and there were definitely some stutters. But on my computer, I didn't have any issues. And I got to say, honestly, one of the biggest surprises of the night, like other than Undertaker losing, second biggest surprise, the stream actually kept up with all the traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I had some issues, not a lot, but there were some times where I had some pauses, but it was nowhere near like it was like 2 weeks ago, even where like watching main event live, I would just lose the stream, like completely drop the stream. Or it would go to sand or death, and then I had to back out, log back in to get the HD again. I today, only at the very beginning of the pay-per-view, I had to back out twice in order to get the HD back. After that, I didn't have any problems. I also ran it through my surround sound system, and I was getting the 5.1 the entire time. So kudos to them for actually stepping up on this one. I just hope that the next pay-per-view, they don't have any issues. Do you guys watch the Hall of Fame, Travis?
No.
No? Doug?
I was able to see quite a bit of it, yes.
All right, Aaron, did you even watch it?
Yeah, I saw quite a bit of it, too. And it was, you know, it's a Hall of Fame. You know, it's nothing, I think, groundbreaking. And I don't know if there's really any storylines that are going to come from it. I just think it was a way to give back to the performers.
Yep, and my thoughts on that were... Lita talked way too long. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's special. If you're into the Twitter, you follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Travis Peterson, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.